You're listening to Hot Talk with Jill Entertainer,
if you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bit of one. I got 99 problems, but a bit of one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bit of one. Hit me. Yeah, it's 94 and my trunk is raw. In my rear view mirror is the number zero. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake. Plus, I got a few dollars, I can fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard.
Son, do you know I'm stopping you for?
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more?
Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Lost the registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are.
I ain't stepping out of shine if all my papers legit.
Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit?
Well, my glove compartment is locked, so it's the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that.
Aren't you sharp to tack? You some type of law or something, somebody important or something. I ain't passed the...
Okay, welcome back to Hot Talk. Many of you all know the rest of that song, but I was having, in doing the research for this, I wanted to cover all angles of, you know, what happens between our interactions with the police that sometimes end up in death of young African-American men and others. And I want to call it the Jay-Z effect. When I was listening to 99 Problems, you know, I thought about it and I was like, okay, that song was done in 94. Now, Shervin, Sheriff Israel, Edwin. I talked to several people and said, if that approach were used today, he'd probably end up dead. Shervin.
I got
there you go. Yeah. There you go. And so there is something to be said. What we're talking about here is the bravado that, you know, Jay-Z exhibits in the song. And he's like, basically, you are not going to search my, you know, and what? We know now. I mean, the tone from 94 to now, we know the tone has changed a bit. So many things have happened. We have this whole Black Lives Matter issue with now that is being turned to be against the cops. There's a level of antagonism in the street that would not make that a good idea. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Sheriff's got his. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know what? I know you asked the sheriff this in the beginning when you were talking about the Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I think I go on the same lines with President Obama said that when they came up with the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement, I don't think they were trying to tell individuals that all lives don't matter. I think they were just trying to say at this time that we're in a place to where it feels like it's open season on black people.
Right.
When it comes to officers, period.
Well, when Missy and I were, you know, going over our research, I was like, you know, a part of it, I feel like, comes from when you, you know, when you say, when you use power, you know, when you use an affirmation to give you power. And that's how, you know, that's why Black Lives Matter happened, because people wanted to be empowered in saying that, hello, our lives matter. And like I said, it did. Those of you, please Google to see how it started when Trayvon Martin was killed. There was such a, and I think that we all can agree, that was a marking in time. Trayvon Martin's death was like the death of Emmett Till. It hurt you to your soul that you... The average person, I think, felt, and I know that I did, that kid was just trying to get home. He just wanted to get out of the rain and get home. And when Zimmerman came up on him, as opposed to, hey, are you lost? Do you, you know, it's raining. Do you need a ride? What can I do to help you? If this, so we would probably be in a whole nother place right now. But that wasn't the tone. And so when power and race are put together, you know, violence usually comes behind it. If you, and you know, our conversation led to, you know, black power in the 70s. It was a different time, but that was seen as black people, you know, taking charge of their communities. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm telling you, James Brown is rolling over in his grave. But then when you look at, and then you get this backlash now from certain segments of the white community. And for black people, Edwin, Shervin Jones, mm-hmm. when you hear white power, that is usually associated with some level of violence. So I think that this is just my opinion, and you all can chime in, 888-550-9105, that backlash is coming from those people who feel like when they hear black power, they get the same, it is the same recognition as white power. And, you know, white power comes with more violence than, you know, positive protest marches more times than not. I know it's a difficult conversation, but I mean, you know, please share your thoughts on that. I mean, I just think that is why there is this backlash, because the average person, you're not offended, Scott Israel, by Black Lives Matter.
No, I'm not.
You know what I'm saying? So the average person isn't, because you understand. I told Missy, I'm going to just change it to hashtag my life matters. How about that? Okay. I mean, maybe we can all agree to my life matters. You know?
I mean, but you know what? When I look at how they're protesting, you have a lot of the individuals who are involved with the movement, you know, it's always at a response to something. They're responding to to something that's happened. Take a look at what happened when they shut down 95, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
They shut down 95, and it was all for a statement to be made. Now, the problem that I have, and I've shared it when I was on a panel with some of the people who are part of the movement, is that if someone was to come and say, okay, we're going to give you what you're asking for, do you have that list to be able to give to them, and this is what we want, or are we just making noise?
Right. And because sometimes it's no.
Right. And, yeah. and that's where, and now I don't want that statement to be to say that what they're doing is for naught. But I also want my generation, who those individuals who are involved with this movement, to understand that when we do go out there and we aren't shutting down 95, or we're doing shutting down presidential rallies and stuff, if you're giving the opportunity to tell what you want, are you prepared to share that?
What advice would you give? And I'm going to Edwin, Sheriff Israel. You know, a group like Black Lives Matter, to really, really get the attention and have their agenda received and moved on, what advice would you give them on how to do that?
I would say that they need to have total open communication.
Mm-hmm.
They need to bring in police. They need to bring in the court system. They need to bring in their leaders. And they need to speak and say what their goals are and what their objectives are and carve out what they're trying to accomplish. But I also think they have to be good listeners. And I think they have to hear what other people are saying. And sometimes, as I tell my kids, no has to be an acceptable answer, as long as it's honest, as long as it's based on fact.
Right.
And I agree with what Chevron said at the very beginning. I don't think the group, I don't think they're trying to say that only Black Lives Matter. I think they're just saying there's a degree of frustration and we want to be heard.
Right.
And that's what I think it is. So I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
But I think
you always have the fringe element around everything.
Right. But everybody needs to be together. Yeah. Everybody needs to be in one room. You know, Katie, bar the doors. Lock us all in. Law enforcement, the community, the groups, and let's all have goals and objectives. And then let's try and, you know, and get to where we need to be.
Yeah, we did a forum like that on Miami Beach. I used to be on the Miami Beach Black Host Committee, and Henry Crespo put that whole thing together when they were having so many problems with my Urban Beach Week. And it was a magnificent symposium. Maybe something like that should tour the country. Edwin, I want to switch over to you. Attorney Edwin Joe, See, now we're calling you Jones. And when Ferguson is here from the Ferguson firm, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate
thanks for
it.
Being, thanks
for so now, me. So many of the questions that we have really come down to knowing what your rights are. And so in that situation, callers, we're going to get to you in just a second. Don't move. In that situation, what are your rights? When, let's just say, I break down on the side of the road and, you know, an unarmed officer comes up on me and I own a gun and I'm afraid. What are my rights? We don't know what he did, but in approaching law enforcement.
If the officer was there solely for the purpose of rendering aid, you have the right to advise the officer that you're not in need of his or her assistance. And technically, at that point, that should be the end of the encounter. Now, if during that encounter, the officer believes that there is some evidence of a criminal activity being committed or has been committed, then the encounter may escalate to what's called an investigatory stop. Based on the facts that I've heard to this point regarding Corey Jones, for example, I don't believe that Officer Roger can honestly say, I don't believe the facts will bear out that he would have been reasonable in his perception that this encounter transformed from an individual on the side of the road with a disabled vehicle to a potential criminal being in his presence. I think that would be problematic for him. But I would like to touch on something that Sheriff Israel said. I am in agreement that body cameras should be mandatory for all police agencies. I believe also that dash cams should be on every single vehicle. Officer Rogers' vehicle was not even equipped with a dash camera.
Right.
I've heard certain agencies claim that it's for budgetary reasons that they don't have dash cameras on every vehicle that's on the roadway. I would say that that's a bunch of malarkey. Well, there's a will, there's a way. They can find the money. I know that at the state level, I believe there is pending legislation to try to mandate that. I suspect that for some of your smaller jurisdictions, that might require the state to maybe subsidize it. But we've seen at the larger, at the federal level, where subsidies have been afforded to certain groups, the farming sector, for example. So I have no doubt that we can get that done here at the state level as well. The cameras are important, one, because I think it serves two purposes, and neither purpose was affected or was serviced in this situation. Over time, it will help, hopefully, cull some of the radical actions of police, and that it's the radical actions of certain police that are giving all law enforcement a black eye in the community. I'm sure Sheriff Israel, I saw something in the paper last week where one of his deputies did something. One or two of his deputies at one of the jails were involved in a series of activities that were not good. That in and of itself does not mean that every single sheriff deputy here in Broward is bad. But again, when you have those what I call radical officers or sheriff deputies doing things, people tend to become skeptical of the entire group. Those cameras, body cameras and dash cameras, will help weed those people out. So long as they are operable, because I can tell you from my personal experience, particularly on my civil side, where I file a lot of false arrest cases against PBSO, ironically, and some of our other agencies in Palm Beach County. It seems that the cameras never are in operation.
Mm.
Except for maybe a DUI stop.
Interesting.
That seems like the DUI patrol cars always have operable cameras. But your average road patrolman, it seems like for whatever reason, the car is not equipped with a dash camera or it was not activated at that time. Because I do know that it is kind of at the control of the officer whether his dash camera is activated in a lot of instances in Palm Beach.
Is that true?
I can't speak to Broward, but in Palm Beach. I know that
is... Like, I don't know.
That's been the
case. But, you know, I mean, in terms of if you have the camera in your car, it's up to the officer's jurisdiction whether or not he turns it on or off.
Well,
it's not mandatory that it be on and when you're on duty.
Depending on what the policies are. Right.
Like, and that changes from municipality. Really?
Yes.
And I think it should be mandatory because to afford this transparency that everyone is screaming for today, you have to take the control of the use of these cameras out of the a determination of the officer. They may forget, or whatever the case may be, or they may be one of these radicals. They don't want a record,
right?
Because they have the intent to do something that obviously is not above board. I think it should be mandatory. The moment you're in that car, it should
clock
be a constant stream recording.
Yeah,
it might even help with some of the phone calls and things of that nature that some of our officers do from time to time to get them in trouble from an administrative standpoint. But I just think that's something that we need to insist upon moving forward at the local level. Our city commissioners, our county commissioners, our chief of police, our sheriffs, we need to make this mandatory that we have the technology. It's from what my understanding, it's not the most expensive thing to equip each of your agents with dash cameras and body cameras. So let's get it done. At least give the community that level of assurance.
Yeah.
Ms. Ferguson, I agree with every single thing you said, but the financial part, let me just explain a couple of things, because it is all about financing. For us to have body cameras at the Broward Sheriff's Office for our 2,000-some-odd deputies, our 2,200 deputies, it is affordable, and we could get there through grants and through the Law Enforcement Trust Fund and places like that.
Right.
But this is what our public needs to understand. It will cost me $10 million a year forever to have a staff there.
Jesus.
To be able to supply. Wow. Because, for example, if Jill, we pulled you over, it becomes public record. Mm-hmm. Well, Jill Tracy was pulled over for X, Y, and Z. 20, 30, 40, 50 people are going to ask for that tape and that video, and we have to go through it. What do we have to redact? What's evidentiary? What goes here? What goes there? You're talking about a staff of about 11 to 12 people, plus all the equipment.
To do the maintenance of that.
For the maintenance and the work. For
and the archiving. And
right. So we have a pilot program at Broward County. We're going to go out in three of our cities in about a month. But after that, I know the program is going to be successful, and I'm going to ask for body cameras for all our cities. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to allow commissioners to say, they say, well, it's a lot of money. It is a lot of money, but there are contingency funds. So don't tell me those are rainy day funds, because guess what? Put up your umbrella. It's raining.
It's raining.
And the public has a right to
know. It's raining.
Everything. But the only thing, and I agree with everything Mr. Ferguson said, but the only thing I'm not sure we're on the same page is it's a massive expense.
I would like to jump in on that, because sure. I do know, for example, with 911 calls, unless you make a public record request within, I believe, in Palm Beach County, within 30 days of the call being placed, I know in Palm Beach, they don't keep the audio recording indefinitely. Now, if you make a public record request, then yes, they will preserve it. You say that there will be, in your county, 11 to 12 people that would need to be in charge of maintaining or compiling and archiving these video recordings, and you say $10 million a year. I'm not the greatest with math, but does that mean that these people are going to be making that? That's a pretty large salary to do something that I don't believe is particularly detailed or requires a great deal of training to keep track of a recording. Maybe we can have a policy in place where if you make a public record request within 30 days, then it'll be stored. If it's not, then it'll be discarded. I've heard that same argument, with all due respect, Sheriff, by the various agencies in Palm Beach County. I don't believe it holds water, particularly when you're talking about a political hot-button issue, which is law enforcement encounters with people. Ms. Tracy just said that she's not even comfortable pulling over for a marked vehicle policeman for, say, the city of Hollywood. She's saying she really doesn't want to pull over. That's a problem. So we need to try to solve this issue sooner than later. So if we need to even cut down the force and use those salaries to help put this technology in place, I would say let's do it, because again, it everything works better when everybody gets along, or as many people as possible get along. I'm sure you would prefer every civilian, if you ask them a question, to stop and speak with you candidly so that you can do your job, because I know that I've heard many officers say, hey, at the end of the day, our goal is to get back home to our loved ones. And I assume every civilian wants to get home too. If you do something like this, I think that it increases everybody's likelihood of getting home.
It really does, and it's proven with body cameras that when the community acts better to the police because they know they're being filmed, mm-hmm. and we act better to the community. So it's a win-win.
And it's a shame that we have to have video proof that we are treating each other civilly. Dr. Williams on line two. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, sir?
Doing quite well, and definitely I'm enjoying the conversation that you're having on Hot Talk tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. What would you like to add?
I'm chiming in along with this issue of the challenges as far as getting the dash cams and the body cams. The man was saying that most definitely it could be an issue as far as budgetary restraints. But at the same time, we need to make sure that, the policies as far as how they can be manipulated are considered as well. As you were saying, or as I forget who was saying, there have been situations where police officers with body cams have shut them off conveniently. I mean, we can go back as far as Rodney King and say, okay, that was filmed, and what did it get us? So in addition to all of the police officers being recorded, we need to control whether or not they can cut them off at all or, you know, in opportune moments. I mean, the legislation as far as how they're being used has to go along with them being issued as well.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Williams.
Dr. Williams is abundantly correct. We'd have policies and procedures in place. Another thing that's important is the ACLU and legal teams are going to weigh in on this, what's private and what's not private. And that's not for the sake of the police officer. That's for the sake of the public.
Citizens,
if we knock on your door and maybe you're intoxicated or what have you, we don't have a right to film A, B, C, and D. So there are going to be a lot of issues. But the bottom line is we got to get the body cameras out there. We got to start filming, and we got to be accountable for what happens.
Sherman
Jones.
Yeah, thank you. And Sheriff, House Bill, public records exemption that we put forth last year for body cameras. As you know, I put forth body cameras, but the bill died when we came into impasse. But we have House Bill 93, which is body cameras again. But the public records exemption went forth last year, which did make those things private. And so you're right, Sheriff. And because we wanted to make sure when the cameras were on, right, that when you went into someone's household there or inside a hospital or inside a social service facility with children under the age of 17,
right,
that's when the cameras cannot be on. ACLU, they opposed the whole privacy aspect, but there was a give and take that had to happen in order for the body cameras to even, for it to pass unanimously like it did within the legislature.
Right.
That's interesting to me because, having dealt with criminal cases as well, if there's something that the court, because ultimately it's the court's decision what is viewable and what's not viewable, not legislators or us here at this radio station today. The court can do an in-camera inspection. If there's something that's sensitive or something that's inappropriate, and most importantly something that's not relevant, then it'll be redacted or it'll be excluded. I think that it's unfair to the community for us to hide behind the very unlikely event that you walk in on someone and someone is disrobed or whatever the case may be, or these are one in a million type cases. Most of your situations that are causing so much hell, if you will, to be raised are in public places, roadside stops, persons walking on sidewalks, minding their business, not in the midst of doing some sort of drug raid or execution of a search warrant or something like that. So let's be honest in the conversation, with all due respect to everyone on this panel, and deal with the elephant in the room. People are concerned about coming into contact with law enforcement officers in public places and the perception that certain law enforcement officers are hell-bent on doing harm to people that they should not be doing harm to. That's the issue, and cameras will be helpful in that situation. That exception to the rule, write it into the legislature that in this particular situation, but you would have to have an in-camera review by a circuit judge or whatever the case may be before said information can be disclosed.
Mm. And we're talking about the murder of Corey Jones and knowing your rights when it comes to stops and your interactions with the police, and legally, as it pertains to the state and different jurisdictions, how those things play out. Beverly, and those of you holding, please hold. We'll get to you right after the break. This is Hot Talk.